Amen. All right. The last time I spoke, we ended with that Psalm 37:37. There's a future for the person of peace. This morning, we are going to talk about Christmas in July. Okay, you know what? This may need a new battery because I see it's been left on. So it's probably been on for 2 weeks. Thank you. All right. Well, first of all, let's look after some other things. You know, we can't entertain anybody right now. And and if you came to our house, like we have renovations, our front room windows are all out. Those gigantic windows are all out. And if you're trying to look through there, you're just looking at plywood right now, at least for another week or so. And so one of the statements that I've heard from people over this period of time, because you try to encourage people, ask, how are you doing? How are you making through this thing? And one of the phrases that I hear is, well, we're hanging in there. We're hanging on. And so I thought with that theme in mind, you know, you try to encourage people to, you know, stay focused on Jesus, stay focused on the future. He has a future for us, and things will change. So with that in mind, I have a non-spiritual question to ask you. And the winner of this question, Jamie and I will take you out for lunch someplace. It's not going to happen today because we're eating here. But okay, for all you country folks, what did Dwight Yoakam say kept him hanging on? Keith, you should know this. No. You don't like Dwight Yoakam. It's really, I just haven't. And Don's not here. And Jim's not here. If anybody watching this right now knows the answer to that question, Jamie's going to go in the office, dial 672-7000, and she will answer your call. Operators are standing by. The question is, what did Dwight Yoakam say keeps him hanging on? In fact, it's the only thing that keeps him hanging on. Scott? And what else? Hillbilly music. Okay. So the Stenzels have won it, so nobody needs to phone. So one of the things that we do in the evening sometimes after supper is we sit out and just watch the park and kind of watch people because we got, thank you, a lot of people walk by and we've met a lot of people or got to re-know a lot of people that we never have seen for a long time because everybody's out walking. And but one of the things that I do is I get a bag of roasted unsalted peanuts and throw a few handfuls down on the road, and before I get back up the hill, the crows and the magpies are there already. I don't know where they're hiding, but they know I'm bringing them peanuts. And I can't believe they have a pecking order. Like, they fight, and some are really yappy. And there's one that's really yappy, and it's like, if you would quit yapping so much, you wouldn't be so skinny. You know, it just goes right. I don't know, it'd be irritating to have somebody calling right in your ear. But I said that to say this. There's a concern, I understand, out there with the wardens and the people that look after rec of the number of crows they're finding dead on the road. And so at first they thought it was that disease, so they took them in to get examined. And they thought, no, it's not that. So they looked at the carcasses more fully because they thought, well, there must be running into cars. And no, that wasn't the answer. They looked at these carcasses and it looked like they had tire marks. And so then they realized that these crows are being killed by motorbikes. And they tried to figure out, well, why is this happening? How are motorbikes killing crows? And then finally, one of the smarter ones said, you know, they always have a point bird that warns the others of danger. The problem is the crow only has learned to say caw, 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 and has never learned to say bike, bike, bike. So. All right. Enough of that for today. All right. I appreciated what Richard had to share last week, and he talked about the grace of God being everywhere. And you can't run away from God because he's there. He ain't going anyplace. And he's omnipotent. And one of the things that he also asked our question was if we watch news or not. And we watch very little of it. And one of the reasons we don't watch news is because I don't want that to be my reality. I want the life of God in me to be my reality. I want to keep centered on Christ. I don't want the reality of a vaccine. I mean, you can take a vaccine if you want it, but I still want the life of Christ to be the center of my life. And in regards to that, we're going to win at this yet. Do we need to reboot or anything? Oh, there we are. Well, you can do it for me if you want. But in your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And we need to continually do that, regardless of the surroundings, regardless of the news, regardless of whatever circumstances are out there. We need to set apart Christ as Lord of our life. And so anyways, I just thought I'd share that with you. It's very important to me. It's very important to us because we can get so sidetracked so easily with so many things around us. So this morning, as far as Christmas in July, another thing that Richard talked on was signs, if you remember that. He talked about signs. Well, I was thinking of the same thing. And so I'm thinking if you were to subtitle Christmas in July, you could use the old song from 1971, the five-man electrical band, Signs, Signs, Everywhere Signs. Everybody remember that? You got to be old to remember that. It's a crazy signs. In fact, somebody put on the social media that the idea that we are so short of workers that we are now hiring long-haired freaky people. So, yeah. Anyways, we're going to look at signs today in a way as well, because there were signs given at the birth of our Savior, and there are signs everywhere. You know, our town, like Richard shared last week, when you see a sign, you know, if it says yield, you yield. It says stop, you stop. Well, that's not always the case here in Camrose. You have to drive defensively many times, and it's kind of interesting. Like, if you're by the, between the post office and the Bank of Montreal, that intersection there, so many people treat that as a four-way stop, and it's not. If you're going east and west, you got the right-of-way. But you can have the right-of-way. You can be dead right if you don't pay attention. So, you know, you got to look at that. The other, you know, the other one, the opposite of that is going down 53rd to the lake. There's no sign there. There's no yield sign. There's no stop sign. There's no nothing. You have the right-of-way, but how many people stop there where there is no stop? And I was thinking of that. You know, as we experience God in our life, he does provide signs for us. And sometimes there is no sign, and we hesitate when he wants us to go ahead. And sometimes we stop when he doesn't want us to stop, and sometimes we go through the stop sign and we pay the price for it. So it works. It's just a good analogy in many ways. Now, signs are often used to exclude, eliminate, count out, keep out, or rule out. And that's where that old song, signs, signs, everywhere signs, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind, do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? And it's just a weird song. But it's about being excluded from everything, because there's signs excluding the poor person from everything that there's to go. But he does finally end up in church and recognizes that God accepts him. And I think that's important, because churches have signs, and not all signs we have are little. We have a sign that tells everybody out there who we are. But most signs are unwritten messages that are communicated loud and clear, especially for those who don't go to church. So here's the questions I'm just going to share with you this morning. What kind of signs are we sending out? You know, how are people reading us? What are people seeing in us and in this church? What kind of signs do you want us to send out? There's another possibility to think. Do people feel they can come as they are? Do they feel they have to do certain things or dress a certain way or look a certain way to come? Do people feel they can come as they are? Do they see mercy, love, generosity, etc.? Do others read from us that God matters to them? These are things that I think are very important. So with that, we'll go to the Christmas story. Something that you're familiar with, but we'll read it anyways. Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the priests, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called we know more as the wise men, secretly, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So just to familiarize yourself with that story again. So one of the things I just want to share is really simple this morning is that there were two responses to Jesus. There was two responses to the sign. There was the wise men and there was Herod and the religious leaders, the two groups. The wise men came from the east. They traveled a long way to find the king of the Jews. Herod and the religious leaders lived in Jerusalem. They didn't have very far to go at all. Herod is at home when these wise men show up wanting to know where Jesus lived. Since the wise men came from the east, many believed them to be Gentiles rather than Jews. On the other hand, with the exception of Herod, the chief priests and scribes that surrounded him were Jewish. They were supposed to be God's chosen people to reveal to the rest of the world how good and how great God was. So there's quite a bit of difference in how the responses are between the pagans that come from the east and the people that are God's chosen. The Gentile pagans saw the sign of the star that pointed to the king of the Jews. The chief priests and scribes who were supposed to be looking for signs of their coming Messiah had no clue, or at least they didn't acknowledge the signs. They did know the facts or the scriptures because they were able to relate to Herod what the scripture mentions where the Messiah was to be born. So they knew scripture. There was no problem there. They knew the scriptures, but they couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't see the sign that was pointing to the Messiah. The wise men came a long distance in order to worship and bring gifts to the new king. That was their desire. You saw that in the scripture as we read it. They came, "We want to worship him. Where is he?" And they brought gifts with them. When King Herod and all Jerusalem heard this, they were disturbed, according to the NIV, or troubled or agitated. According to Thayer's, that means to make one's spirit with fear or dread. So Herod, scribes, Pharisees, chief priests, all of Jerusalem, it says, got terrified about this idea that the Messiah was here. Who was this king? So when we review all this, it's really simple, but yet it's two very, very different responses. And we think about what Richard shared last week about the grace of God being out there, and he speaks to hearts that are open. I believe there's people out there looking for God. They just don't know where to look. But God will speak to their hearts. And these guys from the East, these pagan, were looking. So as we review this, the first group, the wise men, pagans from the Gentile world, who should have no interest in what was happening in Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away, they leave their homes and security because they saw the star and followed it in an attempt to find the King of the Jews and to worship him and to present him gifts. It's an amazing thing. If God did that back then, he can still do it now. He can still bring people unto him. And, you know, I think that's why Peter says, be ready to give an answer to those who inquire of you, because you just never know when somebody's going to inquire, what is this about this God you serve? Who is this Jesus? You know, I've been looking for a Savior. I'm not satisfied with the way I am. I'm running my life the way I'm running my life, and this is not good. I know what I can do. I know the decisions I can make. I need something greater than I. I need someone greater than I. And then we can point them to Jesus. Now, so these guys who were pagan from a long ways away, leaving their homes and leaving the security, but understanding that this is the star, came to him. While those who were there in Jerusalem, the chief priests and scribes, who knew and were looking for the coming Messiah, who knew the Old Testament scriptures, and who had spent their life within these pages, didn't see any sign. But when it was announced to them, they were frightened by what that meant. Excuse me, it just gets really dry up here. So I think you see what's happening here, or what has happened. Those sometimes, you know, and that's why you always got to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, I think there's people incapable of responding to the grace of God. But everybody's capable of responding to the grace of God. And those who thought they should respond and should know what the grace of God looks like react negatively. And, you know, it still happens today that way, and it's sad. Now, understand, it isn't as though that God gave these wise men more signs or chances than his chosen people. As a matter of fact, if you look at the whole story, the chief priests and scribes come from a long line of people to whom God had attempted to reveal himself, and yet they failed to listen. And, you know, Jesus spoke to them about this very thing. He says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you're going to have eternal life. They point to who has eternal life, and that was Jesus. And so it's important to even to this day. God and his grace are everywhere. He will speak to the hearts that are open to him. We can know all the scripture in the world, but if our hearts are not open to him, we will not hear when he is speaking to us. If you would have asked the chief priests and scribes who were more likely to recognize and worship the Messiah, them or the wise men from the East, there is no doubt, in my mind at least, that they probably would have been offended by the fact that, what do you mean I'm not looking for the Messiah? Of course I am. But they didn't identify him, and that's what happened. So, conclusion. God is speaking to those in the world, and I believe God is speaking to us who are born again and followers of Jesus. Now, here's the thing that would be just totally awesome. It would be wonderful if both groups would synchronize and hear God. We would have a tremendous harvest. If we could always see that everybody is loved and known of God and everybody is accepted by God, regardless, and if our world could see that, if that would be the message that we would be sending out to them, that you can come here and be safe, you can come here and experience the love of God, you can come here and experience salvation. I just think that'd be awesome. So I conclude with this scripture. which is familiar to you, Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think sometimes the world does not see God as that. They see God as another burden to their already burdened life. But there's freedom in the Spirit. There's life. There's joy. There's health. There's peace. And all of that. And now our job to relate that through our lifestyle and through whatever. I mean, even with these windows open this morning, when I went up to outside to set up the barbecue, boy, did it ever sound nice with the worship team practicing. Somebody's going to hear that. Somebody's going to hear that. They're going to hear the joy of the Lord. They're going to hear the vibrance and passion of the singers. And you just never know how God's going to touch hearts. And so that's the story of Christmas in July. There are many ways that you can respond to the signs of the birth of Christ. Let it be a good one. Experience God's peace, love, and joy. Do you want to check, see if there's anything in that box back there? Amen.